We're going to start recording the call. Okay, so Marla, go ahead, hon. What's up?
I had a buyer I was working with for about a month.
Hang on, Marla. You know, Marla, hold on 1 second. Here's what we're going to do, because I can tell already that we're going to have a problem hearing you, because there's so many people calling in right now, and I'm going to tell you how to do this. So just, Marla, I'm going to give instructions in 1 second. Hang on. Let me do this. Okay, so, Marla, what I just did is I muted the whole call because there's so many people calling in, so there's all these chimes every time that they call in, and it's getting noisier. So right now, everybody is muted on the phone, so I can't hear any of you. But, Marla, I'm going to give you instructions right now to unmute yourself. So if you'll hit, just do this one time on your keyboard, and it's going to take a second for it to happen. But on your telephone, I want you to hit *6. Just do that one time. Do that now. And there'll be a delay. It'll take a minute. Okay, there you are. I can hear you. So now it's just you and I. And before you ask me the question, because it is now 11 o'clock, I want to start with you, but let me just welcome everybody first and do a little homework here, okay? So first of all, everybody, I want to welcome you to the Power Agent call. I know for some of you, this is your first conference call, so I want to welcome all the new Power Agents that are on the call. Here's what we're a couple of things just to let you know is, first of all, I've muted everybody, so I can't hear anybody unless you unmute yourself. And I'll tell you how to do that now, and I'll repeat it again for the people who call in late. But if you hit *6, if you want to ask me a question, if you do that just one time, that will unmute yourself, and there's a delay, so don't panic. I don't hear you right away. It takes about 10 seconds. And then how you mute yourself again is you hit *6 again, so that toggles between the two. You know, the purpose of these calls, what we're going to be doing is this is really an opportunity for you to get one-on-one coaching with me for an hour. So that's the main thrust of the call. If you don't ask questions, then you don't get the coaching, you don't get the value. So really think about something that you want to ask me. I'm going to start with somebody, Marla, who's on the call right now in just a moment. And after I'm done with her, then I'll open up the call again. Also, I want to remind everybody that the part of the Power Program is the website. And you all should have gotten a username and password. If you didn't, I think there's a way to request what your password is on the website, or you can call our office. I can't help you with that on this call, but that's how you can do that. ThePowerProgram.com, that's the website, ThePowerProgram.com. There's a lot of great stuff when you go into the word classroom. And when you go into the word classroom, there's some things I'm going to talk about later today that's pretty awesome. The other thing is, one last thing, Marla, before I get to you, is that there's a magazine. When you go to the Power Program website, on the homepage, there's a magazine, okay? And there's also a recording. Every month we interview a top agent, and we ask them questions, and then we transcribe that interview, so that way you can read along if you want to. But this month I did something special I've never done before, so any of the new Power Agents, you're getting some like really new bonus, whatever you want to call it. I'll tell you what it is. When I started training many years ago, this dates back to 1993, okay, I actually recorded in the studio how to do a listing appointment. And this recording this month that I posted on the website is me demonstrating how to do a listing appointment. We don't sell that CD. You can't buy that CD. It's a special CD, and I've posted it on the website for you. Now, the other thing that makes it really special, too, is the homeowner who I role-played with actually happened to be my mother. My mother at the time was terminally ill. She's passed since, of course. It's been 1993. And I knew she was terminal, so that's why I did this, is because I wanted to immortalize my mother by having her a part of my my recording. So anyway, it's a very, very special personal recording for me, and I'm sharing that with you guys. And I've never posted that recording live, so that's my gift to you all. Let's see what else. Oh, one last thing is when you go to the powerprogram.com site, under the word, let me see if I can look at it myself too. Yeah, under the word classroom, you'll then see a section that says visuals for sellers. It's at the bottom. And the third one from the top in that category says listing conversation slides. What I did is I put together a PowerPoint slide that you can use as a listing book type of thing. It's not the exact one that I used. It's generic. I created it in PowerPoint for you. So when you download that file, you're actually downloading PowerPoint. The advantage for you is you can customize the slides, drop in anything you want. So that's another real big bonus of the website. The last thing I want to say, I want to point out right there, and then Marla, I'm coming to you, is the underneath that same category, visuals for sellers, there's a file that says 10 reasons to list during the holidays. You know, we're going into the holidays now with Thanksgiving and Hanukkah and Christmas and New Year's, and one of the common things that homeowners might say is that I'd want to wait till after the holidays. In my opinion, this is the best time of year to sell a house because there's less homeowners, there's less competition. The only buyers that come out are serious. The buyers, when they look at properties during the holidays, usually if the house is decorated for the holidays, it looks homier. It creates more of a warm and fuzzy feeling because there are fewer holidays, buyers through the holidays. The homeowner gets less showings, but they get, which they like actually, because a lot of homeowners don't like buyers traipsing through, but the quality of the buyer is better. There's so many great reasons for a homeowner to put their home on the market right now before January. And that flyer that I created for you goes through those. That's number one. Number two is one of our students also created one, and I thought she did a fabulous job. And so what we're going to do is we're going to actually post hers also. That should be up in the next couple of days. It'll be under the same category. Okay, so a lot of stuff. Boy, it's only been 9 minutes, and I think we covered a lot already. But Marla, let's go to you. You still with me, or did you fall asleep?
Yeah. No, I fell asleep.
All right, Marla, so what's your question, hon?
My question is, I had a disappointment this week. I had a buyer buyer rep form signed, and they were looking, and we worked for about a month or so. Then a few days ago, I received a letter from her saying, Marla, you're great, you're fabulous. However, we met another agent who sees more listings that aren't on the market yet. She can get early stuff, and you can't, and therefore, thank you very much, but we're going to use that agent instead.
Okay.
So right now, that hip pocket business is huge, and we're always talking about it, but that just bit me.
Okay. Well, let me get clear, because, Marla, you, I think somebody else, and was it, you know, let me just see if it, I think somebody else was asking something about that in an email to me. I'm not... explain the hip, what is that, the hip pocket listing?
Well,
explain
that. The hip pocket, there's a number of agencies in Dallas that are doing it, and they're trying to get rid of it. That's when an agent in an office announces it to their office only, and they want to sell it within the office first.
Okay.
And then other people don't get the early word about new listings.
Okay. So what's happening, let me see if I understand what you're saying, Marla, is that an agent will list a house, but they won't put it on MLS. They just keep it in-house. Is that right?
For a while, yes. So people in that office have first chance to show and sell that listing. And people who are not in that office don't have the knowledge. Yes.
Now,
go against that. You know, you try to overcome that. It's hard.
Yeah, it is hard. Well, first of all, I'll tell you, Marla, number one is you're not going to get all the business that you're going to, no matter what we do, we're going to lose a certain amount of business, okay? So, because there's no perfect answer for everything. Just like, you know, I give you the best techniques and metaphors on how to get a listing, how to handle a seller's objections, and there's still going to be some you're not going to get. Just in the same token, there are some buyers that you are going to just lose. So, but let me see. What's that?
I had it, and then I lost it.
Yeah, let me see. Yeah, let me see what I can do to help you here, you know, as best as I can. First of all, do you know for a fact, and if you don't know, then I'm going to tell you to look into it, that is that against the MLS rules of keeping a listing and not putting it into the MLS system right away?
It's just now starting to be discussed. I don't know if it's actually illegal, but almost every MLS meeting, people are bringing it up. They're trying to make it illegal if it's not.
Okay,
it's
yeah.
Not
so you want to...
Fair housing, that really is against fair housing. And it's a
yeah,
lot
which...
Yeah,
it's not good for the homeowner because it's not, you know, part of what we do as realtors is we help create demand for a property, and the more demand is based on the number of showings and buyers that want it. So keeping a listing in the office does not serve the homeowner the best way. So I agree with that. Well, the first thing you want to do is you do want to make sure and find out, is it in, because some MLS in the United States, Marla, there is a policy that in the MLS rules and regulations that as soon as an agent gets a listing, they're supposed to put it into the MLS within 24 hours. If not, they get fined, et cetera, et cetera. Now, some agents work around that by post-dating the listing and, you know, they try and do some funky stuff. But so I would find out if your MLS has that rule yet. And that's the first thing. If they do, any time that you hear it, to help manage that and to help support that is you should rat agents out to let the board know that you lost a buyer because this is what the buyer said, that the agent had these pocket listings and they weren't shared. And I think if the more agents in your market that that police each other, the better it'll make the industry, okay, in your market. The third thing is I'm going to ask you is that did you have a buyer agency agreement with that buyer?
Yes, I did.
Okay, so I'm a little confused. If you had an agreement that they said that they were going to work with you and they trusted you, how could they just break the agreement?
I've been told, I guess I need to find legal, I've been told if they decide to change, they can put it in writing to say, thank you very much, our agreement is terminated, I'm going with somebody else.
Well, if that's the case, then you really don't have an agreement. If somebody can we changed their mind, and thank you very much, goodbye, to me, that's really not an agreement then. I mean, in this case...
We have nothing else, do we? We have nothing else but that. I guess that agreement that they sign, and I'd love to hear other people, I guess that just makes them want to... I don't know. I understand. Then there's nothing stronger. That's all we have.
Well, I would here's my guess, Marlon. It sounds like you've got to get some more advice from your broker, from the board. But to me, if a buyer signs an agreement saying we promise to buy a house from you, and if we decide to buy a house, you're going to get paid, and if we decide to buy a house somewhere else, we still owe you a commission. That there's to me, they can't do that. They can't just sign that and then willy-nilly they change their mind because they found something better. That's not an agreement at all. They might as well have not signed it then. That means...
I agree.
All right, so I think you have to look at your agreement and see, you may have allowed them, and other agents may have allowed people to just write something in writing and say, I don't want to work with you anymore, and they may have allowed that, but that doesn't sound like that's what the agreements are supposed to do. So in my opinion, I would tell the buyer that, well, that's fine that you want to work with somebody else now, but you've already have an agreement with me, so you're still liable for me. Now, you have to also decide if you want to take that approach. You know, that's the other problem with buyer agency is that do you want to hold somebody to an agreement and they're not happy that you're holding them to that, you know, where you're making it very legal, you see. So there's, but other than that, yeah, so there's a few things you've got to, I think you got to look into and make a decision about what you want to do. And, but as far as them you losing a buyer because another agent said that, there's really nothing you can do to control that except through the agreement. Either have a strong agreement and hold people to it, or have an agreement knowing that you're never going to hold people to it, and so this is going to continue to happen.
All right. Well, you're right.
I'm sorry, Marla. I'm sorry I can't give you a better answer than that. On that one, there's no magic pill there, okay?
I will check it. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome very much, Marla. Thank you for chiming in. Okay, so now the next person, Marla, if you'll hit star 6 again, that will mute you. And everybody else who needs some coaching on something, let me hear you shout out.
Daryl.
Yes.
It's Andra from New York.
Hi, Andra. Andra from where?
From Babylon.
Okay.
You're in Maintaining the Edge monthly.
How you doing, gang? This is, for those that don't know, it's Long Island, New York. We got a New Yorker on the phone here. So
yeah,
go ahead,
you got
Andra.
just for Marla's information, because I have a question, a real serious question, but for Marla's information, if that's a contract, you should just call her, the client up, if you feel strongly about getting the commission. Call her up and say, that's okay, you can go with the other agent, but where should I mail my commission bill to for you? Because you're under contract. And
yeah, you see, Mark.
That's a real thing, but it's got to be a real true contract with 2% written in and, you know, the whole thing. So you
right, let me echo what you just said, Marla. But, Marla, also keep in mind this nice lady, I mean, not Marla. Marla, I'm sorry. Marla is from Dallas, and so they have a bit of a different approach than we might have here in New York, if you follow me. So,
they
but
don't
you're
have
right.
A true contract. They don't have a true contract.
I agree, Andre. They have to. And Marla, I know you're still listening. So, what Andre is echoing is what I said, that a real buyer agency contract agreement states that you can't just change your mind, that you are going to buy from me, and if you don't buy from me, you still owe a certain percentage commission. And that's what she was essentially, or that's what Andra's saying here, is that you can in a nice way say, that's fine, you're still under contract with me, though, so if you do buy from this other agent, you still will be liable for a 2% commission or whatever that percentage is in your agreement. And I agree with you, Andra. That's how it should be. Otherwise, you really do not have any kind of agreement whatsoever. Okay,
you'll
so
see
now
them you see them change their mind really quickly.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, if they know they're going to pay a fee, they're going to not work with that agent. They're going to come back to Marla.
Yeah,
yes.
But you got to be a toughie for that.
You got to be a toughie.
You got to be a New Yorker.
You got to be a New Yorker. All right, go ahead, Andrew.
Right.
What's your question?
Here we go. So I took my class with you, and I took my 3 days with you, and
yep.
I absorbed it, and I think it took about 3 months for me to get over it, how much I got pushed into me and make the decision. I think you asked me in a class one day, Andra, you're at your breaking point now, because you know I do a lot of deals within a year, and I'm to the breaking point. And last meeting I said to you, let's talk about hiring when we're ready to hire an assistant.
Yeah.
But in the middle of all this, you've been throwing at me, do you have a good customer or client retention program? So that's where I'm at, Daryl, and I'm ready to sign with Market Leader. But
okay.
I do want to know if you or anybody else out there has experience with both, and if people prefer one over the other. I heard the top producer is a little technologically behind the eight ball, and it's very hard to control, and it takes a big learning curve when Market Leader does not.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've been, first of all, I think, we usually don't open the call to other people's opinions, but I might do it for what you're asking, Andra, because
there's no two that I would consider. You know what I mean?
Here's what I know. I'm going to give you my opinion. Then anybody wants to share anything about Market Leader or top producer, you can chime in doing the same thing by hitting star 6 one time on your keypad on your telephone, and that will unmute you. But first, let me give you my 2 cents. First of all, I think any system is better than no system, so that's number one. Sometimes when, and the reason why I'm saying that, and that's important, and by the way, what I'm about to say, gang, applies not just to a database, but to just anything when you're trying to make a decision about what to do, is that sometimes we may overanalyze the choices that we have, and we try and come up with the best choice or the perfect choice. And in doing so, what happens is that we get more confused, more overwhelmed, and then we don't take any action. The same, let's look at just the daily to-do list. Some of us, you know, will go into the office and we have a bunch of stuff that we feel we need to do, and we might have our list written out or we have it on our digital whatever, and we're looking at our desk, we're looking at our piles, and it's like, all right, what's the best thing that I should do today? Well, maybe I need to do this and this, and then maybe I'll get to that and that, but maybe if I switch that around, maybe I'll be better. And so we spend, you know, a good, like, 20 minutes going into this mental vicious cycle of trying to figure out the perfect task to do, and we actually are just sabotaging ourselves and getting overwhelmed, and we don't take any action. So, specific.
It's a big investment, Daryl. It's not a small investment. You know what I mean? I wanna kind of get a feeling from other people.
Yeah, Andre. I'm not saying that you shouldn't do some due diligence and really look at, you know, which would be perhaps the best one. I'm just saying what I'm saying to make sure that you don't get too crazy in the discovery process or in the decision process where you get to the point where you're overwhelmed. At some point, you just got to pull the trigger and choose, okay?
Yeah, and I definitely have to do this, and it's making me feel better already knowing that I'm going into this fully integrated program where I don't have to sign into 4,000 different places to look at listing books, to look at this, to look at that, I just can't do it anymore. I have to have everything in there with a drip campaign, mailings. I have to be able to keep in contact with everybody. I need to know what they're doing. I mean, it sounds like listing book in a way, but there's just so much more to it.
Yeah.
To both programs.
My experience has always been what I've always recommended because they've been around the longest. They have the largest database of agents subscribing to it, which means they have the most revenue coming in, which means they can do the most support, tech support, and changes and improvements. It's been top producer. That's always been my comment and thoughts on it. But I've been hearing more and more.
Did you know that Trulia bought Market Leader for, I think, some incredible amount of money, and they have, like, 1,000 agents there working with the agents, setting them up. I mean, it's become a whole different story for them.
Okay, and this is this part I don't know about Market Leader. I keep hearing more and more positive stuff about Market Leader, so that may be different now. Is anybody on the call want to give their 2 cents about Market Leader that's using that software right now, Market Leader? And if you do, hit star 6 one time, and that will mute yourself after a delay. So let's see if anybody chimes in, Andra. Anybody on Market Leader? Okay. Nobody. All right. Well, then here's what I would say, Andre. Here's what I would do, being that no one has an opinion about it, is that I would – two things I would do. Number one is I would see if you can – when you call Market Leader, see if they have some agents that they can – Marlene?
Yes.
Yes, go ahead. You have a comment about Market Leader?
I do. I had Market Leader for a long time, and I think it's an excellent program. When I left the company I was with, which the program was provided to us, I had to pay for it on my own, and so it was more expensive. And I kept it for some time, and it is a good program. But then I thought, you know what, that's a lot of money every month that maybe I could use better somewhere else. So I left them. Now, if you go back to them, if you change your mind and you go back, you have lost all of your database. They cannot pull that for you again.
The Market Leader?
Yes.
Market Leader?
And on top of this, sir, it's less money monthly. So that's one of the considerations. And, of course, top producer or market leader, either one are programs you can take with you, whatever company you are with. But I believe in both programs. I think either one of them are good.
Well, thanks for that, Marlene. To me, that's a disturbing thing, Marlene, that you just brought to the surface, is that, you know, if you decide to move or change or change softwares, that they basically have your database hostage. So that to me is disturbing.
It just simply goes away.
What's that?
It goes away.
If
you go back to them, you cannot say, okay, just put the database I have back in there. It doesn't happen.
Okay.
Can you transfer it before you cancel?
I'm sorry?
A database is a database. It can be downloaded. I'll talk to them about it, but I bet you that's changed. That's medieval.
Yeah, that is medieval. Okay. All right. Marlene, thank you very, very much. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
All right. So, Andre, to finish that, here, I'm going to give you a couple of suggestions. Number one is, when we were looking at our database for our company, what we did is we actually created an Excel spreadsheet. There had two columns of this. In your case, it would be one column would say market leader, the other one would say top producer. Over to the left, you'd have the questions that you'd want to get answered about the comparison, comparing the two. So that's what we did in research and trying to decide which the best would be. One of the questions that I would put on that spreadsheet is, can I keep my database, download my database, transfer my database to another platform if I decided to change the platform that I'm using?
Thank you,
Dale. You're welcome, Andre. All right, good luck with that. Okay, thank you for that. I have some other questions. People email me ahead of time. I want to make sure I get to those. And if some of you, let me get through those, and then if we have time to open it up to the rest of the call, we will. The first one that I want to cover is from Patty Cortez. Now, Patty, if you're on the call, I'd like you to hit *6 and unmute yourself so I can talk to you. While Patty's doing that, I'm also going to get to Grace Harvey and Tammy Bradley and Merrill Dittenheimer. So if all of you are on the call, just hit the *6 one time, and I will address your question. So go do that now and then say hi to me.
Good morning. This is Patty Cortez.
Hi, Patty. So let me start with you. Everybody else just stay up on the deck. So, Patty, you told me, where are you from, by the way?
I'm in the Houston, Texas area.
Houston, all right. You guys all, I had a great time in Texas. You all were a wonderful group, both Houston and Dallas. Thank you, Patty. So, Patty, you said that you're getting back into real estate after being away for 6 years and you're having trouble getting started on the listings and buyers. Is that right?
Correct.
Patty, the first thing I need to suggest that you do, and by the way, how many listings do you currently have, if any?
I don't have any.
Okay. Patty, you were at the seminar, so you know how strong I feel about having inventory and having a shoe store, right?
Correct.
Yeah, so what you need to do is get some shoes in your shoe store, right?
Right.
And you really should avoid working with the buyers, because if you do that, it makes it harder. I wrote one of the books that I wrote was How to Make $100,000 Your First Year in Real Estate. I don't really talk about it or recommend it, because it's not nearly as good of a book as the Power Agent book. But there was something that I said in that book, and I said, a new agent coming into real estate, and we should just consider you like a new agent because you don't have any inventory in your store, is I said in the book that a new agent should not even take a buyer out until they've gotten 6 listings. And the reason why that is because when you start, you know, working with the buyers and showing properties, it can really distract you from what's really important. You feel like you're working. You feel like you're trying to make something happen. You're working for the dollars. You're working for the money. But if you stay hungry and stay away from buyers, it's going to force you to do more prospecting, more appointments to get more listings. So my first comment to you is don't worry about how to even work with the buyers right now. Just focus on getting the listings, okay?
Okay.
That's number one. Number two is I want you to just wrap your brain around the concept, Patty, that the first six listings that you go on are going to be dress rehearsal, meaning it's to get you back into the zone of real estate again. Meaning don't be attached to getting the listing. Just get your go on there like it's a rehearsal. You're getting familiar again with how to do this whole business, okay? Now, the reason why I'm saying to do that is because if you make the first one, two, three appointments so important that you get the listing, and if you don't, you're going to get discouraged very quickly. Are you with me?
Yes, I understand.
So if you look at the first six appointments you go on as dress rehearsal and it's not important that you get the listing, then you won't beat yourself up and be so hard on yourself, which is important. Now, because those are dress rehearsals, it's better to get those six out of the way sooner versus later. So you want to try and do those six appointments as soon as possible. It'd be better to do it in the next 14 days, you know, in the next 2 weeks. You can consider the phone calls, the same concept, the calls that you make is really just dress rehearsal. So be very forgiving to get yourself back into the zone. The next thing, how are we doing so far? Are you okay?
Yes.
Okay. Next thing is you should pick a schedule when you're going to commit to actually making the calls. You know, if you fail to plan, then you have a plan to fail. So you need to plan out when the schedule when you're going to actually make your calls to get appointments. You want to call FSBOs and expireds because we know they want to sell now. Patty, did you get the FSBO audio program at the seminar that I was at with you?
No, I did not.
All right. Well, if you can at some point financially when you can do that, you get that CD. In the meantime, though, the FSBO dialogue is on the website under Classroom. Okay, so you won't hear me going through how to deliver it on another call, but that would be next month. I can go through that with you if you ask me to, but at least the script is there for you on the website. Also, if you go to Amazon and you get the Power Agent book, How to Become Power Agent Real Estate, that book has a dialogue in there, has some other things in there that might help you. It's a really awesome book. But okay. FSBOs and expireds, those you can get appointments now. The next thing is you want to make sure you have put together a good listing book, something that will feel comfortable for you to go on an appointment to have a conversation with a homeowner, okay? And you want to orchestrate the conversation. You want to have a sense of a beginning, a middle, and end. You know, you want to build rapport with them when you first go in there. You want to sit down, find out what they're committed to. If you remember at the seminar, I talked about REAL. R stands for rapport, E stands for engage them in the conversation, which is asking questions, and in doing so, you're also going to get clear about what they're committed to accomplishing. Then you're going to try and give them some advice, and it's the advice part, the A part, which is what we consider the traditional listing appointment where we talk about MLS, yard sign, broker's open house, public open house. It's all that section there. And then you want to invite them to hire you if they feel comfortable with everything that you shared, which is the listing part. Don't wait to make your calls. Like some agents, they'll say, let me put my book together before I make my calls and get appointments, because if I get an appointment, I don't know what to say. You know, that's stupid. So let me first put my book together, then I'll get the appointments. Don't do that, Patty, because that'll slow you down. You want to put your book together as you're going on appointments. So the first couple appointments you go on, you may not have anything with you because you're still putting the book together. But at least you're in the playing field of real estate. You're getting out there. You're at stress rehearsal, all of those things. You also, Patty, could have another agent go with you on an appointment, a more experienced agent, somebody, you know, you have experience, but you've been out of it for 6 years. So if you get an appointment, you can say, hey, listen, I got this listing appointment, but I haven't gone on one in a while. Could you go with me and let me just sit back, kind of watch it? So that's something that you can do. Of course, there's the library metaphors and analogies, if you had gotten that. This month's audio CD that I posted on the website is me going through as I said at the beginning of the call, with my mother. So you'll hear a sense of how to deliver a listing appointment. If you listen to that CD, it's just about an hour. And also the PowerPoint visuals that are on the website, that might help you too. Okay. But the most important thing, Patty, is you have to get out there going on listing appointments. That's the priority. All right?
All right.
Do you have any questions? I just threw a lot of stuff at you, and I hope it helped you specifically. Do you have any questions about what I just covered for you?
The main thing, well, is in order to get the listing appointments, then it's the FSBOs and the expireds that I need to be calling.
Yeah. All right, okay. So that part, you have a question about how to do that? Listen,
no,
go ahead.
I can listen to the CD that's on the website.
Well, that's for the actual appointment. That's not for the getting the appointment.
Oh, okay.
All right, so that's actually on the appointment with my mother. Patty, before I do what I'm about to do, I'm going to ask you a question. How's your attitude? I mean, not that you're a negative person. I mean, are you scared? Are you nervous? What's up?
I'm nervous that I don't have anything, that I haven't been able to get anything yet.
Okay. All right. All right. Listen, Patty, because I can hear it in your voice. That's why I asked you, okay? Listen, you have to... You have to trust that. Do you have family? You have kids? You have a husband?
Yes.
Okay. They're behind you? Are they being supportive?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, yeah.
All right. If you've got family that loves you, you just always lean on that, okay? So don't panic, all right? Because that's more important than anything else in your life, all right?
Right.
I'm saying that because if you panic, you're going to create more challenges for yourself. So that's the first thing. So just kind of stay grounded in what's important in your life. That's number one. Number two is if you do the right activities, Patty, you'll get the results. So as long as you do the activities, eventually you'll get the results. So don't worry about the results and focus on what you don't have, because you're going to continue to create not having it. Okay. If you wanted to lose weight, you know, you'd have to, it would take time, and what a lot of us do is that we get frustrated, we give up on the weight or getting healthy because we don't see the results quick enough. But here's what I guarantee you, if you have a good weight plan, like you're eating like a particular way at certain times and you're eating healthy, and if you do that every day, I guarantee you the results will occur. You'll lose weight. But it takes time, and you have to be committed not to the result, but committed to the activity. Are you with me?
Yes.
If you call 10 people, Patty, and you just barked, that's all you did, eventually somebody's going to say, oh, you must be a realtor. Come on over. So the point is the activity of making the calls, eventually you're going to get a result. Now, you want to make the call as good as possible so you're not just wasting time. But I do know if you take the worst dialogue in the world and you call 10, 12 FSBOs, you'll get one appointment out of those calls. Now, if you do the best, my students, their average is they'll call four and they'll schedule three, two in the worst case scenario. And what I'm going to do with you, Patty, right now is I'm going to role play the call. And we're recording this call right now, so I want to give you this gift that I'm going to be an agent. I'm calling you as a FSBO. And so that way, after this conference call, we're going to post this recording on the website, and you can listen to it again later. How's that sound?
That's fine.
Okay. So, Patty, you be a FSBO, and I'm calling you, okay?
Okay.
All right. So answer the phone. Ring, ring.
Hello?
Hi, I'm calling about the house for sale.
Yes.
Yes, is it still available?
Yes, it is.
Well, hi, ma'am. This is Daryl Davis from Power Realty. The reason why I was calling is I noticed your ad, and I was wondering, are you working with agents in the sale of your property?
Yes, I'm open to working with agents.
Okay, well, that's great. I'm looking at a. Can I ask you how are you working with the agents? What's your plan there?
I'm willing to pay a commission if you bring me a buyer.
Okay. All right. Great. And I'm looking at a copy of the ad, and it looks really, really nice. Is there, let me just, did you write this ad yourself, by the way?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, you did a really great job. I'm sorry, by the way, my name is Daryl. What's your name?
My name is Patty.
Patty, thank you for that. I appreciate it. So, Patty, I see that it says 4 bedrooms, 2 baths, colonial. And is it one of the new constructions in the area, or is it one of the traditional older homes?
It's a newer home.
Okay, great. And have you done any major improvements? That's something that buyers always ask. Is there, like, any major improvements you've done to the property?
Yes, we've renovated the kitchen and the bathrooms.
Oh, okay, awesome. How long ago did you do that?
Within the last 5 years.
Well, I got to tell you, that was really a smart, Patty, because that's one of the biggest, most important selling points about the property that buyers really love. So that's awesome. And how big is the property? Now, Patty, let me just stop to make it easier, because I can spend 10 minutes on this role play with you. Let me just highlight what I'm doing, and then we're going to finish up the call. What I'm doing, Patty, is that I'm trying to get information about the property and build rapport with the homeowner, okay? I don't know if I said this in your seminar in Texas, because I didn't say it in all of the seminars when I was there, but in some of them I said, because every time I do a seminar back-to-back like I did in Texas, I think they get better and better, and I start, like, coming up with new material even in 24 hours. And one of the things that I started to say, is that the commitment to making a call to a FSBO should not be to get the appointment. The commitment should be to building a relationship with them. Now, what's really awesome about that distinction is that, number one, is it takes a lot of pressure off of you to perform, meaning that we all put pressure on ourselves, like, I have to get the listing appointment. If I don't, I failed. Well, if you have it not be about the appointment, and you have it be about building connection and rapport, then you're going to succeed even if you don't get the appointment, because whatever happened, you got closer to another human being. Now, the interesting thing, though, is if the commitment is to building a relationship with that homeowner, then what's going to happen, if you do that well, the appointment will naturally happen. They'll just give it to you. So don't be committed to getting the appointment. Be committed to building a relationship. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Now, in doing so, in this part of what I just did with you in the dialogue, is I'm trying to find out about the current home, just like any buyer would ask questions about the house. So it's not threatening. The FSBO's used to these types of questions from other people who have responded to their ad. So you're asking stuff about the property, what they've done. But in the same token, you're making little dibs and dab comments about it, because it's part of the rapport building. That's, you know. And if you ask about bedrooms, I could have asked, wow, that sounds like a big house. Is it just you and yourself, or do you have the children? Oh, you have children. How old are they? And then I might ask questions about that. Then the next part, which we didn't get to, is when I feel like I've built enough rapport where they're not going to get offended with this next question, then I ask it. And here's the question. So can I ask you, the house sounds really nice. Where are you folks moving to? Like, well, why are you even thinking about moving? And now, Patty, the questions are going to shift to what they're committed to accomplishing, where they're moving to, why did they pick that area, what time frame are they looking at. Now, those questions can be considered like none of your business intrusive type of questions, so you don't want to ask those questions until you've built enough rapport with the other questions about the house that they currently live in. Is this making sense, what I'm saying?
Yes, I understand.
Now, Patty, the last part of this call is the easiest, and it works really great in the South. So I know we just don't have Texas on the call. I've got some other I've got the Carolinas. I've got some other the Southern Belt here. Whenever I do this live, this works so beautifully, and it's this question, Patty. Well, let me ask you, would you be offended, Patty, if I came over just to take a look at the house and see what you have? That question, would you be offended, is such a great question, because who's going to say, yes, I would be offended? Especially, you know, seriously, with folks from the South, you're all just polite. You wouldn't. It's not in your nature to be, yeah, I'm offended you even call me. Now, even New York, that works, that question. Would you be offended if I just came by to see the house? Because if you built the rapport the correct way, and how you build a rapport is through the questions that we just went through, okay? And that's how you get the appointment. Now, if I ask you, Patty, would you be offended if I just stopped by to see the house? You say, well, we're really not interested in working with, you know, which you said you were interested in working with realtors, so that was easy. But if, let's say, you said, no, you know, we're not interested, we're going to try and do it on our own for a couple of weeks, and then if we need to, we're going to work with somebody, I'll call you. When they start saying that and they want to blow you off, Patty, then you want to just try a little bit. Say, well, you know what? You are letting buyers into the house, and actually those are complete strangers. You don't know if they can even afford the house if it were free, where I'm licensed by the great state of Texas. So I'm probably the safest appointment you can give. So you really have nothing to lose and everything to gain to let me in to see it. I mean, just look at me as like one of the buyers that called off your ad. But actually with me, because I'm licensed and because I am working with buyers, letting me in is like letting 5 or 7 potential buyers in at one time, because I'm looking for these people. So I understand that you don't want to listen, and I understand you want to try to do it on your own. Here's all I do is I eat, sleep, and drink real estate, helping people get from point A to point B in their life, and I can't imagine that anything bad will come out of us seeing each other and me seeing the house. If anything, a lot of good can come out of it for you. I just don't want you to kill off the possibility of getting your house sold for the highest possible price. I promise I'm not going to come in and twist your arm and try and convince you to do anything you don't want to do. Plus, you kind of sound like a person who's strong enough that no one can make them do anything they don't want to do. So if you'd be so kind, I just want to see what you have and see what I can do to help you in any way that I can. Now, Patty, I just did that long dissertation for your benefit to record it for you so you can listen to it later on, okay?
Okay. Thank
you. Did this help you?
Yes, it did.
All right, good. Stay positive, Patty, because you're going to attract what you put out there, okay? Don't get too frustrated. Real estate's a numbers game. Think of it as a diet. Think of it as a workout program. If you keep working out every day, eventually you're going to get healthier and you're going to get skinnier and all that other good stuff. And by the way, I don't know what you really look like, so I'm not saying, I'm trying to use that as an analogy. The point is do the right tasks and the results will come, okay?
Thank you for your help.
Oh, you're welcome, Patty. Thank you for that. Grace, are you on the call? Grace Harvey. Yes. I got some other questions here I got to get through first. Grace Harvey, you on the call? Okay. So, gang, part of what I promise is when people email me questions, I'm going to address those ahead of time first, okay? So let me just get to Grace. I'm going to record this for her. And just so you all know, what she asked me, gang, is she has a listing that's $1.2 million. It's a custom home that's been on the market for 70 days. She wanted to know, can I do another broker's open house? She wants to get the property sold. Here's my thinking about broker's open houses. They're like a grand opening. And whenever you do a grand opening, you don't do more than one. You know, once the store is open, the store is open. So I'm not a fan of doing broker's open houses when you're a new agent on the listing. Like if it expired with an agent and then you get the listing, then as the new listing office, yes, I think you should do a broker's open house. And I think it's imperative that it is done in the first 2 weeks of when it hits the market with your office. The other thing is the higher the price on listings, the longer it takes to sell. So something that's $1.2 million is not going to sell right away. Every state, every market, every city has different days on market based on the high-end properties. So I don't know what it is in Parker, Texas, but, you know, if Parker, Texas is the average time on the market is, you know, 120 or 250 days and you're at 70 days, that's not a bad thing. I would ask the homeowner for any list of professional friends and family members that they can give me as the listing agent so I can send out a flyer, promotional stuff about the property, because sometimes the best buyers are coming from the homeowner's friends and family, especially if it's a professional family or a wealthy family, it's a wealthy house. I would also do a high-end mailing to the neighborhood. letting the neighbors know that the these homeowners have hired me to market the property, and the best buyers are the ones that are looking to buy in the neighborhood, so if they know of anybody. So I would definitely, but I would do a high-end marketing piece. I wouldn't do just a letter. I would do a multiple color brochure and send that out in a, you know, 9x11 envelope to 50 or 100 neighbors. There's two reasons why. Number one is it may generate a buyer for that property, but number two, it's going to impress all these neighbors on the kind of marketing that I do, and it may generate another listing for me. So, Grace, those are my answers for you. I have two more, and then I heard a gentleman that wants to ask me a question, but let me just get to these other two. Tammy Bradley, are you on the call?
Yes, I am.
Tammy, I'm afraid that you stumped me here. Really, you're in Nevada, and so you said there's a lot of foreclosures coming onto the market. And what's an NOD, Tammy?
No, it's a notice of default.
Got it. Okay.
It's in the foreclosure process.
All right. So your question is how to break into REOs and these HUD listings? Is that the question?
Yes.
You know what? I am really sorry, Tammy. I really don't know the answer to that. I don't want to blow smoke at you and make believe that I do. I didn't work that market at all. I will tell you what I did, Tammy, is that we recorded. I do have an audio program on breaking into REOs and foreclosures. What I did is I interviewed four people that do that, and we put together that CD program. If you want to look at getting that, because I don't even remember what's on there, to be honest with you, I will tell you, I'll do this for you, Tammy. If you go to the Power Program website, and somewhere on there there's special pricing for power agents when they buy things. If you buy that and you don't like it, like listen, but you have to listen to it in 30 days. I don't want it sitting in your car. So if you buy it and you listen to it, and in 30 days you don't think it helped you, then mail it back to me and we'll refund the money, all right?
Okay.
Yeah, because I'm sorry. I feel horrible. It's very rare that somebody stumps me. But does anybody have any thoughts about REOs and breaking into that? That wants to give one tip for Tammy before I go on to the next coaching question. If you do, hit *6 on your keypad, and that will unmute you, and then we can hear you talk. Anybody? I think I just heard a click.
I have one thought about that.
I'll throw that thought in first.
I know some agents in my office that do a lot of REOs, and for one, they've all been at it for quite a while. But something I learned from talking to a loan person at a bank around here is sometimes the banks will deal them out locally. So if you get to know the loan officers at some of the local banks, that's one way.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, okay. And you know, I would say go around the banks and get to know, if you can get the names of the asset managers in the banks, you know, sell yourself to them. That's a little bit that I know about the process.
Wow, those were great suggestions right there. Okay, awesome. All right, thank you.
Can I throw in two more questions, Daryl?
Now that you gave a contribution, yes, and then Merrill Dittenheimer, I've got you. So go ahead, sir. What's your question?
Okay. The second thing, actually, it's just another contribution about Market Leader. I work for a rather large company in the country that we get that provided. It's a branded version of it. And you can export and import. I just tried it to see if I could export my database, and it's very easy. It exports it to an Excel file. And then you can take that and import it to the, you know, if you go back to it, you can just re-import it back into it, or go to another product and do that.
Awesome. Okay. So you actually just tested it, so you can actually export.
In a matter of seconds, I had an Excel file of all my data. Okay.
Awesome.
Now the third thing is a real question about FSBO. I went and visited a FSBO in my neighborhood, and the guy was like, "Well, you know, I'm not in a hurry to sell it." He wouldn't really let on why he wants to sell, because he just bought it like not even six months ago.
Okay.
But they want to do something else, you know. And he's retired, so he's got time to be there to show it to people. He's already gotten, I think he said he was real excited because he got 5 calls on it from Craigslist. He didn't say whether they actually came out and looked at it. My initial phone call with him, he said he didn't want to pay any commission, even if I came to him with a buyer straight up. But then he did let me come visit him, and I got him to the point where he said he would pay a one-sided commission if I brought him a buyer.
Okay.
So I thought about what you just said to someone else about just, make friends with the people, develop rapport. And so I intend to keep in touch with this guy, stop by or call in a week or two and see how it's going, that kind of thing. And where I left off with him was I did leave him the card, if you need my help.
And what's your name, by the way?
Oh, I'm Steve Reiner. I'm in the Tucson area.
All right, Steve. Steve, let me highlight something. And actually, Merrill, are you on the call? Because this is applying to your question, too. Are you on the call, Merrill? If you are, Merrill, hit *6, and then I can hear you. I'm going to start answering real quick. Merrill's question that she had was that many of the physicals she's talking to, the physicals say, bring us a buyer. The only way I'll let you in is bring in a buyer. What's the best way to handle when somebody says that? And it's kind of what you're saying, Steve, in some respects, and what we just talked with Patty about. The most important thing is if you do not get in the door when you're calling a FSBO, it's because you're asking for the appointment too soon and you haven't built a good enough rapport with these people. If the homeowner thinks that you're just coming over for you to take something from them, meaning take a listing from them, take a commission out of their pocket, this is why they're not going to like you, they're not going to want to work with you, they're not going to want to give you the appointment. But if they can sense on this phone call that you are looking at this, you want to just come over and see the house to see how you can help them, and you're trying to serve them, you do that by building a rapport, you're going to get a better chance of getting in the door. The other thing you can do and this is specifically for Merrill, if you keep getting that, bring us a buyer and then I'll let you in, well, you may have to go the other way and just play that game with them, so to speak, by saying, all right, well, that I understand I'm working with buyers and I'm representing the buyers, so I am a buyer's agent, and how the buyers want me to do it for them as their agent, they want me to first preview the properties before. So it's kind of a catch-22 here, is I can't help sell your property if I can't see the house first to let these buyers know, yes, I've seen it, because they're going to ask me, and if I haven't seen it, they're not going to want to come over. So I understand your aversion to working with agents. I know you don't want to just let somebody in to list the property, the whole nine yards, but just I'm calling you as a buyer. Look at me as a buyer, but I've got a handful of them that I'm actually representing. So, and then when you get in the door, then you can build a rapport some more and then turn it into a listing conversation. And I think that's something that we're going to have to talk about on the next call, which is how do you go into the house and actually start the listing conversation? Because I know that that's a big question that people have when I do the live seminars, and I think that's something that we're going to have to address. And I'll do that on the next call. Okay, now, anybody else? Was there another gentleman that had a question, or was that you, Steve? I think there was somebody else that was going to ask something.
I think you're right about that, and I'm going to sign off.
Okay, thank you, Steve. Anybody else? All right, listen, gang, this call, I think, was really great. There were some really solid questions. And, the one thing that I didn't get to do, which I'm going to just say this, is when I don't get a lot of participation, I go through the magazine that's on the website. And sometimes that happens where there's like dead air, everybody's a voyeur. So I was prepared to go through this magazine with you guys today, and we ran out of time. So let me just tell you what to pay attention. First of all, you must log into the powerprogram.com site with your username and password to get access to the magazine. When you get in there, on the homepage, you'll see at the bottom this little flippy thing. It's a magazine. When you open up the magazine, the first half of it is a transcript of the listing appointment that I did with my mother. After that is some forms and checklists, and there's some really awesome things in there. For example, on page 37, The Dream of Home Ownership, it explains why owning a home is so powerful for a buyer, for the children. There's studies done that children who live in a home that's owned, actually they perform better grades than a child who is in a rental apartment with their parents. I did these studies. Some of it came from the University of Texas and Wisconsin. And so you need to look at page 37. It's really awesome to show a buyer. I have so many pages here. My gosh, this magazine is over 60 pages this month. Page 52 is a version of a listing appointment that somebody else did, so I gave you that. There's some great visuals on page 61, why now is the best time to buy. There's this thing that I created for you. There's 6 reasons why now is the best time to buy. Lowest housing prices in years, interest rates at 50-year low, interest rates expected to go up, home builders eager to sell. I mean, it goes through stuff to show a buyer. And also, why now is the best time to buy a home is page 63, during the holidays. So, on page 65 is how to help the house appraise out, which is a big challenge we're having. So there's 10 things that the homeowner can do to help themselves in getting houses appraised more. I'm going to tell you, page 65, that one page all by itself is worth so much to you, because what you can do with page 65 is, number one, is you can show it on a listing appointment. You can actually use it as a mailing. You can use it as a call to action in an ad to tell people if they want to get this report on the 10 ways to make the house appraised in today's market. You can use it as a mailing piece. There's so many things with just this magazine is over 60 pages. This one page, there is a plethora of things you can do with it. I'm going to say one last thing, and I'm going to let you go. What's really great about page 65 is that it shows a homeowner all the stuff that they don't realize that they need to know about selling a house. Part of what I want you to do, I have a note here, is that when you go on a listing appointment, you should think of yourself as a doctor, where you are a specialist, a surgeon when it comes to real estate. You know, if you go to a doctor and you have issues, they're going to say, all right, I want you to fill out this questionnaire, I need you to do this, and we're going to take this medication. Like, they rattle off like a plan on how you can get healthy with whatever is ailing you, because they know more about your ailment than they do. I want you to look at it as a FSBO. They have an ailment called selling their home, and you're the doctor who's going to go in there and prescribe to them, here's what they need to do to make sure that this property gets there. We're going to do this. And some of what I've given you, like that page that I just referenced, page 38, make a note of that, is the same thing. So a lot of great stuff. So digest it, gang. I want to thank you guys for calling in. I'm looking forward to next month with you. I want to go over the listing appointments some more. Make sure you email me your questions. I'll always get to those first. If you think of anything now that you want to email me, do it when I hang up this call, and I'll print it out, and I'll save it for the next call. Lastly, don't forget we have the holidays. This is a time of year to create memories with our family. And, make sure you friend me on Facebook if you haven't, because I post videos about, you know, keeping a positive attitude and smiling in your life. And my handle on Facebook is Daryl Speaks, D-A-R-R-Y-L Speaks. So if you type that in the Facebook address bar there, you'll find me. And don't forget, we don't just help people buy and sell real estate. We actually help people get to their next level. We make a difference in people's lives. The more people you serve and help, the more money you're going to make. So thank you very much, gang, for calling in. God bless you. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving, and I'll talk to you in December. All right, thanks, gang. Bye-bye. Thank you.